Good morning, and here we are at the Bible Baptist Hour. Time again, it hardly seems possible, does it not, that we can go so quick, and the weeks and the months go by, and next thing you know, here you are, and you wonder what in the world happened all the time. New message starting today, the importance of the gospel. And I want to say, well, let me just say before I give the introduction here, we got a really nice letter from somebody this past, a couple weeks ago, I guess it was now, and was just a blessing to my soul that they got such a blessing out of the program and was even kind enough to give us a love offering, and we appreciate that. They don't have to do that, but they did it, and we appreciate it. But just so, if you're listening, thank you very much for the kind letter. Your offering was one thing, but that letter was really, really, really rich. We thank you so much for that. Bible Baptist Church, located in Lupton on the east side of the road as you come into town. That way you don't miss us either way. When our service times are 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock in the morning service, 6 o'clock the evening service. Midweek is Thursday at 7 o'clock. Our youth time for teens, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, and for the other youth group, Thursday night at 7 o'clock. You're welcome to come and try any of those out. We'd appreciate it if you would. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 will be our text to start out with this message with. The importance of the gospel. And it's very, very, very important, I promise you. You have no idea how important the gospel is. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it is the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Very important. Thank you for listening. At the end of our program, always the announcer will give you an address where you can write to us. We'd appreciate it if you'd take the time to write that address down and then take the time to drop us a note in the mail. And you can't imagine what that meant to get that letter in the mail and hear somebody say, "Your program blessed me so much." So thank you very much for those kind words. A song today before we begin the message called Good News. And the good news is the gospel. After the song, we'll be into the message. After the message, our announcer will be here. So be sure to be listening. Don't turn your radio off till the announcer gets done. All right. Thank you so much. And here's our song, and then our sermon, and then our announcer.
There is a story that I must tell to you, taken from God's own word. You must have heard. Good news, my Savior, good news, glorious, good wonderful stories, glad good news, hear bells ringing,
Matthew chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In Matthew 4, we'll begin reading in verse 18. And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they began to question as to why he would say such a thing. After all, they were already fishing. They didn't know what he meant. Your Bible doesn't say that, does it? The Bible says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now, I'll tell you, they didn't hesitate to do what the Lord asked them to do. And I don't know for sure how much of it they understood. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they decided that they would wait 2 weeks to be sure that everything was going to work out all right. They weren't Baptists, were they? And immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic. I know some of them. And those that had palsy, I think most of those are in Washington. No, the lunatics. And he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This is our, of course, verses that are part of our missions conference. Missions conference theme, I should say. Verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Did I say chapter 9? I'm sure it did. Okay. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I would be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, and them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, and to them that are without the law as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ. In other words, he didn't violate God's word to those who were outside, but he didn't put himself above the people who didn't know. See, sometimes we're not careful, we'll look out there and say, oh, man, what a crumb ball that is. I want nothing to do with them. Paul said, no, I had something to do with them. Now, I didn't become like they were just to, see, that's Billy Graham's position. These were his verses. Billy Graham used these verses to prove that he could sit with the Catholics and take the Catholics' honors and do all that kind of stuff because the Bible permitted it. So what the Bible's saying. That's what Paul's saying. Paul didn't say he became a drunk so he could reach the drunks. Become a whoremonger so he could reach the whoremongers. He became all things to all men in the sense that he didn't better himself above them. that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Father, this preacher is not worthy to even stand here this morning and give this message. But I'm asking you to clean me up, make me worthy to give the message that you'd have. But more than that, I'm asking that you would stir our hearts, mine included. Lord, these are not easy days. We're not saying we got it really bad as anybody else. We're just saying these are not easy days compared to what we've been used to. We've had it pretty easy in this country, but I think those days are over. So you're going to have to help us prepare for what's ahead. And we pray that you will show us what you have in mind for us, that we'll be willing servants to do what God has bidden us to do. Stir every heart. I do not know if there might be somebody here today that's unsaved. If that's the case, and I pray today, Lord, they would come to know you as their Savior, whether it be a boy, a girl, a man, a woman, whoever it might be. Now, I need your help, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I propose this question to you. How important is the gospel? In this day and age, the average denominational church is preaching what they call a social gospel, which is really nothing more than a watered-down message about love and peace. Joel Osteen says he doesn't use the word sinner, and that he can't say whether an atheist is going to hell or not. Joel Osteen says only God knows that. Strange, isn't it? That there are verses telling us what a sinner is and how to get to heaven, and that there is a hell, and that those who reject Jesus Christ will go there, and yet a man can pastor one of the largest churches in America and not understand those truths. Amen. Certainly we understand that the gospel, in its definition of 1 Corinthians 15, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because the gospel is the good news. Yet we know that while we are to preach the gospel, we understand that Paul also told Timothy this, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. So, how important is the gospel? Is it important enough for you to tithe and support missions so it can continue? Is it important enough for you to be here every service, listen, and respond to it? Is it important enough for you to pray for your preacher throughout the week to get a message from God? Is it important enough that you made an effort this week to reach a lost friend or neighbor or someone else? Someone said, we do not have to defend the gospel. We need only to proclaim it. The noted Baptist preacher Vance Havner said, the gospel is not something we go to church to hear. It's something we go from church to tell. So I ask, how important is the gospel? I believe there are a number of things. I shall whittle the list down to 40 or 50, but I believe there's a number of things that would indicate the importance of the gospel. Our text there in Matthew chapter 4 said that Jesus went throughout the area preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I understand the context. I understand he's preaching about the kingdom. But keep in mind that the gospel, first of all, as I said earlier, is the good news. Now, keep in mind this. He was preaching to the Jews. Got to get all this together here. He's preaching to the Jews. They knew that they had a kingdom coming. He was telling them, it's here. They had been waiting over 3,500 years for this kingdom. Here was the king of this kingdom. But they, like many people, ignored it, thinking that the kingdom was something else than what Jesus was proclaiming. Do you get my point? The gospel is being preached today all over America. And yet there are hundreds of people who will ignore it because they don't think that's what it is. The gospel is so important that I point out to you that this is the first message Jesus preaches, the first recorded message we have that he preaches. He's going about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus didn't come preaching reform. He didn't come preaching how to straighten out Rome. He didn't come preaching on how we should take over the government. He come preaching the gospel, saying it is time for the kingdom to be set up. And the Jews went, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Look at him. He hangs around with the common people. Look at him. He tells us that he's from heaven. Look at him. He says he's the Son of God. Who is this imposter? Let's kill him. We have the preaching of the gospel today, and we have the same response to the gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the Jews did to the man who could have given him the kingdom. As a matter of fact, turn to Romans. Let me show you what Isaiah said about this in reference to the Jews, of course, but in reference to the gospel that he's talking about. In chapter 10 of Romans, in verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, notice that, the gospel of peace, the good news of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. See it? There it is. Here we are today. We have the message. We have the good news that Jesus Christ can save a man from hell. We have a good news that there is a heaven and you can go there by believing on Jesus Christ. We have the good news that tells us that if we live and suffer for him, we shall reign with him, and yet we sit and listen to it week after week and ignore what it tells us to do. Because we don't believe the gospel. We love the gospel. We're glad our church preaches the gospel. We're glad we have a copy of the gospel. We just don't obey the gospel. Look at Acts chapter 14 a minute. How important is the gospel? Acts 14. Verse 1. Now last week we were down in attendance because of a storm. This week we're up in attendance because of no storm. I expect a few more amens from those of you who weren't here last week and didn't get to share yours. Verse 1, chapter 14. It come to pass in Iconium that they went together, both together, the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also Gentiles, Greeks, believed. But unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony of the word of his grace and gave and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, in part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, and they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and into the regions that lieth round about, and there they told folks how bad they had been treated in the other city, and how folks didn't love them anymore, and how nobody cared about them, and how they weren't going to go to church anymore. They were sick and tired of being treated wrong. No. What was the first thing they did when they got there? They preached the gospel. Why? Because the most important thing is the gospel. I don't care how you've been treated. I don't care what somebody said about you. I don't care if they stoned you. I don't care if they beat you up. I don't care if they don't like you. The most important thing is not what you and what's happened to you, but what Jesus Christ did for you and that he died for this world. Amen. We seem to think that in this life we have a right to complain about how bad we have it and how we've been mistreated and what's going on, and that somehow or another God's going to get honor out of that and people are going to be saved. No, read your Bible. The first thing they did was preached the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul writing this passage, we read it, I'm not going to read it again, just want to look, focus on verse 16, just a thought out of verse 16. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. You know, we live in this day and age where we got these glory hogs. You know, these guys, you know, they go around preaching and they got big works and bragging about it. You ain't nothing. You're a hunk of snot God uses. That's all you are. You're not worth anything. That's all you are. You're nothing. So get off your high horse and realize if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have anything anyways. If it wasn't for God, some of these preachers wouldn't have a church. They can't preach. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For why? For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, watch he says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Look at that word woe there. That's the name of Isaiah's horse. Yeah. Remember he said, woe is me. Anyways. He said, you know what? He said, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to have sorrow. And I'm going to have afflictions. I'm going to have trouble. I'm going to have grief if I don't preach the gospel. He said, you know what? A duty's been given to me. Yeah. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Do you know what he just said? He said, if I do what God told me, there's a reward. If I don't, the Lord's going to say, you know what? I gave you a job and I'm going to hold you accountable for what you didn't do.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to the Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.